We're changing things up today. As I mentioned in Sunday morning service, we were in the book of Acts, and really that's kind of a continuation of what we've been doing in Exodus. Last Sunday, we started a series on leadership out of the book of Exodus chapter 17, and wasn't Moses an excellent example of godly leadership? And in that sense of 17 and 18, he really was. And so I look forward to that. We will be in the book of Acts for the next two messages on leadership, and then we'll be finishing up with Exodus again. Now go ahead and stand together with me, and we'll read our verses in Corinthians. You are in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. All right, we'll start in verse 17. Paul says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." So what he's about to do, obviously, he's going to correct them because they're not doing something correct. He's not praising. "I praise you not" means you're not doing this right. So you need to change the way you do this. Okay, and it has to do with the Lord's table. They weren't doing it right. Verse 18, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there would be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one taketh for before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another be drunken, or is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you for this, or in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I do deliver." "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," that's a key word, "unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now verse 28, let's all read it together. Ready? "But let a man examine himself, and also him eat that bread and drink of that cup." Apologize, I got mixed up there. Verse 29, I'll just read this. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now, when we talk about the Lord's table, we're talking about a precious ordinance as established by Christ. So it's critically important that we do it correctly. And we understand what it means, why we do it. Now, this is a really important topic. There's a lot of people who quit church, never go to a church, you know, because of the way they observe the Lord's table. And so there's a lot of differing opinions about how the Lord's table should be observed. And instead of telling you my opinion or telling you how I feel about it or looking at other ministries or denominations or churches out there that use the Lord's table for whatever purpose they use it, let's just study it from the Bible and see what God has to say about Lord's table today. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the goodness of your mercy, and we pray your blessings today, that your grace may pour out on our hearts, that we might learn, change to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You could be seated. Now, our title today is Make the Lord's Table a Precious Time. Make the Lord's Table a Precious Time. That's a good title. I feel like that's what the church was not doing. They were attempting, in a way, to observe the Lord's table, but it wasn't precious, and they weren't doing it correctly. And so let's get back to making it precious, a sweet time, which is what it should be. Another title, and you can note this, or a subtitle could be, Remember What He Did For You. Just meditate on that for a second. Remember what he did for you. That's, in the end, that's what we need to do with the Lord's table. We need to pause. we need to remember what he did for us. And while we do that, our own lives, I feel, naturally should come under examination. It should be natural for us to examine our own lives in light of what he's done for us. And whenever that happens, and it's right, and it's the way God designed it to be, it's such a special time for us personally. It's a special time for us as a church corporately that we might unify even that much more, understanding what he has designed us to do as a church, to reach out, to reach people. And you know what stops the ministry of God quicker than anything? You know what halts God's work in the church and in us personally? It's our sin. Your sins, church, will halt God's work in your personal life. And corporately as a church, when we have people that are engrafted in some sort of a sinful manner or sinful lifestyle, and you can't get over it, and it's just pulling you down, and it's pulling you down, and it's ripping you away from Christ, it hinders the work of God. So it hinders you personally, it hinders your family, and it hinders the work of God. So what do we need to do? We need to remember what he did for us, examine our own lives, and get back on track. Praise the Lord for the Lord's table. Listen, this isn't just something we do. It's just not a pastime. It's not a religious ceremony. And I want you to know this, it's not a sacrament. The Lord's table doesn't take you to heaven. It's a picture. It's a picture of what Jesus did for us, his body, his blood. It brings unity because we examine ourselves and it brings us back into focus. It gets that sin out of our life when we say, you know what? This sin is destroying me. It's destroying my effectiveness. It's destroying my influence. It's destroying my walk with God, and it's hurting the church. The Lord's table does all of that. We need this. Isn't it amazing, you know, the two things God ordained for the church through ordinance, the baptism and the Lord's table, both of them are designed to get the church back on track, to make sure the church stays on track and gets the church back on track, all for his glory, all to get the gospel into the world. Yeah. Oh, I just love it. Whenever you have a church that comes together and observes the Lord's table and remembers what he did, we ought to get under conviction about our sins, repent again. And let's say you have a whole church that does that. Let's say because of this message, God pricks your heart because you remembered. No, you didn't remember how much you love your sin. No, you didn't remember how much you're gratified through what you do. You just simply remember what he did for you. That in itself ought to be enough to bring such pricking conviction that it compels you to come. It compels you to repent. And let's just say, now, I don't want to assume this is going to happen, but I don't think there's anything wrong with mentioning the possibility. But let's just say we have a whole church of people tonight that all of us repent. You say, well, wait a second, I don't need to repent. Time out. Let's just listen to the message and let God be the one who determines whether we need to repent. But let's say, just so happen you need to repent because the Spirit of God pricks you, and you do. What did that do for God's church? Oh, it's just precious, isn't it? The church is purified from within. And when we're pure, we're able to be a brighter light, aren't we? Yeah. So that's the purpose of the Lord's table. God wants to use it. And we need to be taught. We need to be taught. You know, we also need to be taught that things are precious. I always think of my kids when I think about... You ever heard the phrase, bull in a china closet? Of course you have. Yeah. If you've raised children, you know exactly what that means. You have experienced it. I never take my children to a couple different kinds of places. Number one, we never go to the dishes store with my kids. Have you ever heard of Precious Moments, little figurine things? It's all glass. We don't go in there. We don't go into the Hallmark store. No. Where else do we not go? There's a lot of places we don't go. Bull in a china closet. They need to learn that there are some things that are precious. They're not baseballs. You need to take care of them. But they have to be taught that. Because they don't get it. They don't understand. Things are precious. Well, it's the same for us. As God's children, we're God's children. And therefore, we don't understand the things from God's word. I mean this in a good sense. But the ceremonial type things. Like the things we do on purpose. Because God said, do this. You know, and it's designed to help us to remember that it might be precious And it becomes precious in a way that it wasn't precious before. This is certainly the problem the church was having. Look at verse 17. We're going to build up to our text, okay? Verse 17, it says, Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. So what is he doing? Well, here's what Paul is doing. He's explaining to the Corinthians, he's helping them to see, I'm about to address an issue that's not precious to you, but it should be. I'm about to address an issue that you're not doing correctly, and it needs to be refreshed and taught anew, and so that you have a firm and clear grasp on what this is supposed to be, because you're not doing it right. He's not commending them because they were doing it wrong. It needs to be corrected, and it needs to happen quickly. So he goes to the members of the church. I think it's not a big part of our notes here. I think you can see it in the text, but I think we need to remember that the Lord's table is designed for members of the church. And why is that so? Because it's designed for the church. And the church isn't a universal body. The church is a local assembly. We can't assemble with people that live in Africa. They have a church, and we have a church. We believe the same. You see, if we're doctrinally on the same page, then we might believe the same, but we're not in the same church, because we the word church means assembly. So if we're in church together, it means we're together. Not just in spirit, but in truth. Like, we are here together in body. And so to observe the Lord's table, we need to remember it's for the church. Paul was writing to who? To the church. And when he addressed the church, he says, listen, you, church, are not doing this correctly. So you need to fix this. And so we can just study out Lord's table. It's just so clear that it's for a called out assembly of people. It's not just for anybody. It's people who are committed to the work of God. What is the purpose of the church? This is quiz time. It's okay for you to speak out. Why does the church exist in the first place? It's not a country club. We're not here to, I don't know. What do country clubs even do? Like, whatever they do, I don't know. We don't do that. Why are we here? What's our purpose? The gospel. Somebody said something over here. Spread the word. Yeah. That's our purpose. Thank you. So to be involved with this purpose, God designed a body of believers that have committed themselves to that purpose. And whenever you commit yourself, you become a member of the church. Yeah, you're not a member of a country club. You don't have to pay your tithes to continue to be a member. You're part of a body. And whenever a piece of the body isn't working correctly, the whole rest of the body feels it, right? You ever stubbed your toe? You can feel that in the end of your hair. It hurts. Your whole body hurts. And so as a body, we're designed by God to accomplish his great purpose, get the gospel into the world. Now, like a body, we hurt sometimes, don't we? Well, you might be doing great, and we're really proud of that. We're glad for that. I don't mean that to be sarcastic. We're glad if you're doing great. Because you're doing great doesn't mean everybody's doing great. So we need each other. And the Lord's table is one of those things that God has placed in the church as something that is to be done to help the health of the church. It's like taking medicine. It's like doing things that will help us to be destroyed or to really get disease of the body and divide. And it's appropriate. It's in Corinthians too. I mean, and it also is appropriate that, or rather it's understandable that the Corinthians weren't doing the Lord's table correctly, because they had real problems, and the Lord's table helps to correct those kind of issues. You see, so we got to get this right. And it's for the members of the church. It's not to make anybody feel that's not a member of the church like they're an outcast. We just have to remember what helps us to understand why it's for the members of the church is what its purpose is. Why do we observe the Lord's table in the first place? Well, first of all, we remember what Jesus did. But what does that do? See, we remember what Jesus did for us every time we meet together, in a sense. So what is the difference between what we do every Sunday and the Lord's table itself? Because when we observe the Lord's table, we think only about what Jesus did on the cross, and it leads us corporately to do something about it, right? To examine ourselves. So there's a sequence there. The Lord's table isn't just remembering Jesus. It's repent. It's bringing yourself into examination, under examination, because of what Jesus did, as we remember what he did. And that's clear to see here. And Paul is correcting their wrong thinking about this. I could read the verses, I won't take the time, but basically verse 18 all the way to verse 22, he says, listen, church, you're just doing it wrong. And he specifically deals with some ways they were doing it wrong. And then he starts the process of explaining through teaching how to make the Lord's table what it should be and precious and understand what it's meant to be. So let's do that. Look at verse 23. It says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Okay, so before we read verse 24, what he's doing here, he's already explained you've been doing it wrong. So now what he's doing, he's transitioning in verse 24. He's saying, now I'm going to tell you how to do it correctly. Okay, Paul has received instruction on how on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he broke bread. So I'm about to tell you what its purpose was. I'm going to give you a little bit more details on the explanation on the Lord's table. Verse 24. And when they had given thanks, this is Jesus, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And before we read that last phrase, you already know the answer to this. Most of you have heard a message similar to this more than once. That's okay. But he said, take, eat, this is my body. Now we're not, this word body here, and almost makes us feel like a little bit confused. If you do word searches on the word body, I've already just told you a minute ago, the church is a body. But that's not this body, you see. This is referring to Jesus's literal body. And so whenever Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body, let me help you understand what he is and is not saying with this. He's saying, listen, I offered my body on the cross. I most literally died on the cross. You see? Or what he was about to do. He was about to die on the cross. He hadn't yet, but he was about to. This is his literal body. Now, whenever they ate the bread, were they actually eating like the literal body of Christ? Because that's pretty gross, right? It's called transubstantiation. Is that right? Transubstantiation. It's a Catholic term, and it means that that bread literally becomes the body of Christ, and that's not what it means. The bread was not becoming the literal body of Christ. It wasn't. The last phrase tells us what the purpose was. This do in what? Remembrance of me. And so the bread is a memorial. It's to remember the body of Christ. It doesn't become the body of Christ. It's to remember the body of Christ. What did he do on the cross? He died for your sins. Amen. The next thing is really the same understanding, verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So before I go on and make the same point, let me say something about the cup. This is grape juice. It's fruit of the vine. It would be unfermented. It wouldn't have been leavened. Leaven is a picture of what? Sin. Jesus had no sin. It's inconsistent to think that the drink of grape, fresh fruit of the vine, which was called wine in the scriptures, would have been considered fermented or alcoholic a beverage. It wasn't. Alcoholic beverage require yeast. They require fermentation. They don't just happen. It requires fermentation, you see? A mixture, mixed wine, you see? And Jesus would not have been referring to that here. It would have added sin, and Jesus' blood was pure, without sin, no leaven. And so when we observe the Lord's table, we take the bread, we do it in remembrance of him. It doesn't become the body of Christ. We do it in remembrance that he died for us. The blood is an alcoholic, and it doesn't become the blood of Jesus. The same reasons. We do it to remember that he shed his precious, pure, sinless blood on the cross. Why did he do that? Well, he did it for us. We remember Stephen, and we see him down in the pit. Those of you who were here this morning, you see him down in the pit, don't you? And he said, oh, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. That was Christ on the cross. Can you imagine? Jesus on the cross, being crucified by the ones he's dying for. And that's you and I. He died for our sins. And that's what we're to remember. Verse 26, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And so Paul there gives us instructions on how often we should have this service, the Lord's table. Many times people have come and they said, "When? How often do you the Lord's table?" I said, well, usually we do it once, sometimes two times a year. I like to do it two times a year, but we don't have to just do it two times a year. It says as oft as ye do. So we can do it as oft as we need to. But when do we need to? Well, let's remember, what's the purpose? It's not a ceremony. We don't just do it. There's a reason for it. Now, let's say that the church is a body. I'm going to do some reasoning here, okay? This is okay. This is lesson time anyway. Let's say the church is a body, which it is. And let's say that we're hurting. Sometimes the body hurts, doesn't it? You ever felt it? The body isn't always healthy. Sometimes we hurt. Do you think that maybe when we're hurting as a church, that maybe it's a good time to have the Lord's table? Yeah, that's the purpose. The Lord's table is for hurting people. It's for the hurting church. It's for health, nourishment in a sense that it brings us the medicines to bring us back to what he has done for us. And when he died on that cross and he shed his blood and we take that in, we forget about all our problems. We forget about all our personal issues and the sins that we have in our life. And we're thinking about what Jesus died when he died on the cross for our sins. And it brings a special prick, doesn't it? A conviction from within that says, oh mercy, I've been living in sins. Oh my goodness, my life has not been an honor to God. And so what do we do next? Well, let's look on. Verse number, look at verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So verse 28, but let a man what? Examine himself. Examine himself. And then it says in verse 28, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. I want to say two things about this. I'm not going to preach for a lot longer, so don't get nervous here, okay? But this is really helpful. The word examine himself just means put yourself under a test or scrutiny, like proving yourself that if you're genuine or not. Sometimes we can act like we're doing good with God, but in our seat, we're, you know, we got our church stuff on, and ooh, I'm looking doing good, but then in our hearts, we know we're not. Examining means you get down to the heart and you really know how you're doing. If you're bad or good, you know, all that we can fake. But down to business, that's examining yourself, okay? How are you doing? Are you doing good? I'm not really doing so great, you know? So what do we do? What does that drive us to, this understanding of Christ and our examination of our own hearts? It should bring us to repentance, you see? It should clean us. And make us so that we get on our knees and we say, God, I blew it. And I need you. And I don't want to go down this path. And I want to live for you. And I want to honor you. And it's a purification, you see. And the church needs to be purified. They weren't doing it correctly. It wasn't working the way it should. It wasn't working the way that God designed it to work. And so it was what he said, unworthily. It was bringing a different level of guilt. You know, and there's a danger there of observing the Lord's table with a heart that has not been examined. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You know what that means? That means the Lord's table isn't just a ceremony. It's what it means. What do you mean, Pastor? It means this. It means that your observation, your receiving of the elements has nothing to do with your relationship with me, necessarily. It has everything to do with your real relationship with God. And if you know you haven't examined yourself and gotten right in your heart, and you take of the Lord's table, you, in a spiritual sense, are bringing a level of judgment on yourself. And so you can play games. I mean, it's not really a game that I'm and this isn't a threat, by the way. I'm not threatening. I'm just teaching you here. This is, I guess, in a sense, it's a warning. I think that's how Paul is doing it. But when it's time to do this, this coming Wednesday, and the rubber hits the road and it's time for you to do some self-examination, I would make it happen. Matter of fact, by the way, how amazing is it that it's on the schedule for, when did we plan Lord's Table? It was last year, wasn't it? You know why we did it today? Because we have missions conference, and then we're going to be gone, and then Easter is like 3 weeks away, you know? Oh, let's do it on this day. I had no idea I was going to be right here in Corinthians. So I just want you to know I didn't plan this. I'm not smart enough to do that. So God gets the glory. But here we are. We're preaching about Lord's Table, and it was on the calendar last year to do Lord's Table this Wednesday. Praise the Lord. But this gives you 3 days, doesn't it? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Examine yourself. And come. You know, come. Let's look at one more thing. I'm going to finish with this. Verse 28. Okay, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. You know what a lot of people do right there? Here's what they do. I'm just going to be honest with you. Here's what people do. Oh, well, my heart's not been close to God. I'm just not going to observe the Lord's table. What? That's like whenever my kids get in a fight with each other and I'm helping them to see that, you know, they can blame your brother, but you have a problem. Well, he did it. No, time out. Were you kind? No. Well, you have a problem too. The Bible says be kind and you weren't. You messed up too. He messed up and you messed up. Everybody messed up. Well, here's their solution sometimes. Well, I'm just not going to play in there anymore. I'm just going to go over here. Wait. So that fixes it, huh? You're just not going to play in anymore with them? Wrong. Get right and go play with them. Well, that's what God wants us to do. Well, I'm not going to observe the Lord's table on Wednesday. We're just acting like kids, aren't we? No. Get right with God and be here and do it. You know? Don't say, well, I'm just not going to show up. No. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. That's what he's saying. He says, listen, don't do the childish thing to say, well, I'm just not going to do it. Examine, repent, and do it. And I'm telling you, you won't be sad about it. You will not be sad about it. So what does God want us to do? Well, it's just time for us, I think, to make the Lord's table precious again. Just make it special. If you decide to do this, spend the next 3 days examining your own heart. Come Wednesday with a heart prepared. No, you're not perfect, but you've done your best to get right with them. Full examination. The Holy Spirit does a whole lot better job than that than any of us, right? You don't need me to examine you. I don't know enough about you, you know? But God knows everything about you. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees down in the recesses of your heart. I mean, he sees it all, so deal with it all. For in the next 3 days, make that a special time so that when you get here on Wednesday, and we have a short message, hopefully out of 2 Peter, and then we do that Lord's table, it'll be really special for you. It'll be precious. And that's what God wants it to be. Let's remember what he did for us. And we'll do that on Wednesday. Father, again, we thank you so much for a great time that we've had in your word. I pray for this, this encouragement that we've had of the Lord's table. I feel that it's such a confused doctrine. And I don't just feel that. It's obvious in religions that are out there. And Lord, you know that. I just pray that you'll use the truth of your word to convince, Lord, your people of their need to examine and get things right with you so that we might be effective as a church to get the gospel once again into this world. We praise you for your faithfulness and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.